And love is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two and love can't fake it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you.
All right, today we're going to conclude our series, Real Love. Have you enjoyed this series? Has it spoke to you? Okay, now today I want you to really be in tune as we bring this series. This is the fourth part of the series. We're talking about learning to love yourself. Learning to love yourself. See, our ability to love others is dependent on how much we really love ourselves. Remember, love is more than just a feeling or just an emotion. Love is a what? Choice. Let's say it together. Love is a choice. It's a choice. I choose to love. It's not based off of emotions or feelings, but based off of my expression that I choose to love the Lord my God with everything. I choose to love. It's a choice I make because I don't always feel like doing it. And the same goes for my own life. I've got to choose to love myself because often I don't feel like I'm good enough. Often I feel like I don't deserve love. Often I feel like who could really love me? And we got to choose also to love ourselves. When I choose to love God, and when I choose to love myself the way He loves me, it opens up the heavens and it opens up my heart to walk in this greater unity that God has for my life, that He wants to walk with me. He wants to talk with me. He wants to be with me every step along the way of my life. And that happens when I realize that, God, You first loved me. Now in response, God, I choose to love You. And then I choose to start loving myself the way You love me. It helps me love those around me. See, love yourself, it's not like the world does. When I say love yourself, I'm not talking about a making yourself first, because the Bible goes against that principle that we shouldn't put ourselves first. That it's always God first, and we put others first. And God says this, that, you know, we don't want to put ourselves as an idol in our life. So we're not called to put ourselves first, but there is something to loving yourself. The Bible is very clear that God expects us to love ourselves. You know, the world tells you you love yourself through positive confession, right? I am important. I am somebody. My son Landon, you guys know, who plays at Missouri State, plays football there at Missouri State. He told me the other day they have a new position coach, and he said, Dad, every day before we go to our off-season workouts, they got to be there to work out at 6 a.m. in the morning. He says at 5:30, he sends all of us a group text, and he's always trying to give us this motivational stuff. He said the other day he texted us and said, before you leave your dorm, look in the mirror and scream to yourself, tell yourself, I am a beast. I am a beast. I am a beast. It's like, you know, it's kind of that way in our life that we think that loving ourselves is all right, I am somebody. I am important. I'm not fearful. And I'm not talking about positive confession. Even though there's nothing wrong with positive confession, the Bible is very clear. We have power in our words. So I'm not against positive confession, but I'm looking more than what Tony Robbins thinks about you. I'm looking more than what somebody else thinks about you. I want to know, what do you think about you? And do you know what God thinks about you? Because you got to learn to love yourself the way God loves you if you're going to be effective in completing His will for your life. So today we're going to learn to do this. I want you to go to our text now, Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. It's been our text all throughout this series. Let's head it home again today. Love the Lord your God. We talked about that last week, how to love God, truly love God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. So we spent the first 2 weeks talking about loving your neighbor. Last week we talked about loving God. This week, as we conclude, I want to talk about the third person in this equation, and it is love yourself. Because he says, I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And could it be the reason why we have a hard time giving love away is we haven't first learned to love ourselves. We haven't first learned to love ourselves the way God loves us. Many people struggle with this. Many people struggle with, now some people, they don't struggle. Your struggle is you love yourself way too much. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you love yourself way too much. And so I'm talking about coming back, not only from loving yourself too much, but coming back loving yourself the way God intended. And also, some of us here, we struggle with self-doubt. We struggle with our low confidence, or we struggle with self-hate. We just have a lot of things that really keep us from loving ourselves. And I think one of the reasons why is we've been conditioned to be performance-based in our love, right? I mean, everything, we do this so others will love us. We do this so mom and dad will love us. We do this so a boss will love us. We do this so our spouse will love us. We do a lot of things based off of performance. But let me make it very clear to you today that God's love for us is not performance-based. His love is grace-based. I can't wait to share that. From Easter on, we're going to be talking about the grace of God, and it's going to be really, really strong in your life. But I want you to know that we're not based off of performance-based love. God's love for us is not performance-based. You know, tomorrow, try going into work and telling them, listen, I tell my boss, I think I deserve a raise. I've been dressing really nice. My attitude's been really great. I've been smiling a lot more. And what's he going to say to you? Those are great. But really, if you want to raise, we're going to look at the numbers, right? Raises come off of production, off of performance base. If your performance increases, then come hit me up for a raise. And so everything about our society continues to drive home this point about performance-based production. Every commercial tells me and tells us how inadequate we really are. Look, you can do better. You should be looking better. You should be dressing better. You need better shoes. You need a better car. You need a better house. You need better meals. All these things are constantly flooding our life, flooding our commercialism that's telling us one constant theme is simply this: we can be better. We can be better. And no wonder we struggle with self-image. No wonder we struggle, does God really love me? Because, man, I don't perform the way I think I should. I'm not performing for God the way I think I should. And it becomes this cage. It becomes this trap. And what happens is this: we've been hurt. We're not good enough. And so we start doing things and we start wrapping ourselves up in this bubble wrap. No one's going to hurt me. I'm not good enough. And we start wrapping ourselves up and we live our life in this cocoon of bubble wrap. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to let anybody close to me. I'm not going to help anybody because of all these shortcomings, and it really affects the way. How are we going to love anybody wrapped up like this? How are we going to serve anybody wrapped up in all this cocoon of self-doubt? You got to know who you are in God, because when you know who you are in God, it sets you free to love others. It sets you free to get away from performance-based love and know that my love comes through the cross of Jesus. And what Jesus did on the cross has now set me up to be a child of God. It's not based off of performance. It's based off of adoption, that God has now adopted you and I into the family of God. That sets me free. God's love for me isn't performance based. And so I got to quit loving myself based off of performance and learn to love myself based off of identity, who God says I am. So I must understand and believe who we are. We must understand. Who are we? Look at this. We are what? A child of the King, and that we have purpose. The Bible says this, that we are a chosen people, a royal people. You were chosen of God. You were chosen of God. We are a chosen people, and we are a child of God. We have a royalty in our veins today. If you have been accepted, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you're walking as a child of God, a child of the King. He loves you already. And let me break it to you this way. He'll never love you any more than he does right now. And also this, he'll never love you any less than he loves you right now. Stop trying to perform to earn a love that God has already given you. You got to know who you are in God. It allows me to walk in my identity. So today, I want to talk to you about this identity. If you're going to love yourself, you got to know who you are. Look at this identity path that I put down here. You got to learn to walk in your identity. This path, it's a search for our God-given purpose so I can know who I am. It first starts off with knowing who I am. I got to know who I am in God. I got to know who I am. It's the who, the what, the when, the where, the how. What's missing here? The why, right? Listen, you're never going to understand the why. Because God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And so if you try to figure out why, you're not going to be able to figure it all out. You're not going to figure it out. The first thing you got to do is you got to understand who you are in God. Who I am in God. I am a child of the King. I'm chosen of the King. I am of a royal priesthood. God loves me. His love for me is unconditional. When I walk into this relationship with him, the Father sees me. He accepts me. He affirms me. He knows who I am. God knows who he is. God says it. Listen, he says, I know who I am. God describes several times in Scripture who he is. Look in Exodus 34. One of the times he did it, the first times, he says, the Lord came down from a cloud, stood there with him, proclaimed his name to the Lord. He says this, I am the Lord. He passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, your Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in love. I'm abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands, forgiving the wickedness, the rebellion, and sin. I mean, all throughout Scripture, we see where God continues to identify who he is to us. And we could talk all morning and read Scripture after Scripture after Scripture where God identifies who he is. Jesus identified who he was. Remember when he was fasting for 40 days and he came out of that time of fasting. The first thing he did, he went to the temple. Look what Luke 4 says. This is who Jesus says, I know who I am. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for those who are prisoners and recovery of sight to those who are blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I mean, Jesus was declaring who he was. We can do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke who he was. It was declared who he was. God knows who he is. Jesus knows who he is. The Holy Spirit knows who he is. And God wants you to know who you are. God wants me to know who I am. He's very much declaring who we are. God would often change names of people in the Bible because he wanted them to know who they are. Remember Abram? He said, Abram, I'm changing your name to Abraham. That means father to many nations. I'm Jacob, I'm changing your name, Jacob, which means deceiver. Now, after I've touched you, I'm going to call you the Prince of Israel. I'm going to call you Israel, the Prince of God. Simon. Oh, no. No longer are you Simon the fisherman, but now I'm calling you Peter, man. You're Pete, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He said this, Simon, I'm changing your name to Peter. Saul, no longer do you persecute, but now you're going to win many. Your name is being changed to Paul. God had a unique name for individuals. Today, Do you realize we all have a unique heavenly name? We all have a unique heavenly name. On the count of three, I want every one of you to say your name. Ready? One, two, three. Well, I couldn't make out any of that, could you? Yeah, amen. We all have unique names, and let me say that your name goes beyond what your parents named you. Your name is deeper than what your parents named you. That God has a unique heavenly name for every one of us. How is that possible? God has a unique name for you and I. Why? Because he's got an identity for you and I to walk in. Look what happens in Revelation 2:17. Talking about for those who go to heaven. Look what it says. Those who are victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give to each one of them a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. So it says this, that when we get to heaven, that God's going to give us a white stone. Why would he give us a white stone? Because remember, when the time this was given, white stones symbolized pardon, innocent, not guilty. That when they took a vote, that they would use the white stone to say, I believe this person is not guilty. And they would do a vote. They would all open their hands up at the same time to reveal what color of stone that they had in their hand. And God says this, that when we get to heaven, he's going to go to us. He's going to hand you and I a white stone saying, I no longer find you guilty. You have been pardoned. But not only that, but it's going to have a name written on it. It says that only God and I are going to know what that name means. I mean, talk about how personal. What an intimate experience this is going to be when God hands you your stone and you open it up and confirms, yes, you have been pardoned, and you're going to see the very unique name that he has for you. God knows who you are. God's called you, and he's got an identity he wants you to walk in, and it's greater than where you are right now. You just got to realize, all right, God, I'm not this person I am. God, I'm greater in you, and it's not dependent on what others say I am. It's who you've called me to be. It's who you say I am. God, it's who you say that I am. 1 John 3:1 says, I am a child of God. Look what it says. See the great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And in case you don't get it, it says, and that's what we are. Know this, we're children of God. It's our identity. So let's look at the identity path again here. And we realize this. This is our identity path. The who, the what, the when, the where, the how. So, who am I? The first thing I got to do, if I'm going to begin to understand my true identity in Christ and know who I am so I can love myself the way God wants me to love myself, I've got to know who I am in Christ. I got to know who I am in God. You called me son. You called me daughter. You called me into the kingdom. You called me into the family. God, you got a unique relationship with me. I am forgiven. Man, this is awesome. And so, I understand who I am, then I can understand what he wants me to do, right? What do you want me to do, God? That's the million-dollar question. What's God's will for my life? And let me say, quit overthinking it. We've read it a thousand times here. Constantly hammering it home. What is God's will for my life? God's ultimate will and first will is simply this. He wants me to love him, and he wants me to love others as I love myself. How can I love myself? Because I know who I am in God. And once I know who I am in God, now I can begin to love other people. Now I can love him freely. Now I can show his love. Realizing this, that God has given me everything about my life was given to me so that I can help other people experience God's love. Every part of my personality, every gifting I have, whether it's small, big, doesn't make a difference. Everything God has given me was given to me so that I, in return, could walk in the what, and that is, I learned to love others. Love those around me. And after I do that, and then I go to the when. When do I step into this? When do I do this? Notice the order. It's when and then where. See, we want to know the where first, and then we'll get the going, right? If I know where I'm going, we'll get there. Spring break is this week, and I was thinking about it that several times when the kids were younger that I would load up with the guys. We'd do a trip on spring break, and we'd be like, you know what, where are we going? I don't really know. Let's just head. You know, we'll head out of town somewhere. What are we going to do? I don't know. It's the guys' thing, man. We don't have any girls telling us what we're going to do. We're going to eat whatever we want to eat. We're going to get up when we want to get up. We're going to go to all the guy stuff we want to do. And we just went out and we found every manly thing we could do. And we did it. It was some of the best times, some of the funnest times, some of the greatest memories because, man, we just went. And without a real big plan, we just went. The first step to having fun was just getting them in the car and getting out of town, right? And just doing something. For many of us here, we want to know the destination first. God, where are you taking me? God, where are you taking me? And then, all right, then, I'll go there. Oh, hallelujah. You know? Oh, it's easy then. But see, God doesn't work that way. He wants you to know who you are first. He wants you to start knowing what you're supposed to do, loving others. And then he wants you to take a step and start doing something. Look what this says here in Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Wow. See, God wants you to take a step even if you don't know where you're going. I don't know where all this is going to lead, God. But I know you've called me. This is who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do. And now I know when I'm supposed to do it now. It's time for me to start putting love into action. It's time for me to start loving others and putting love into action. And as I take that first step, you'll lead me along the path, and you'll take me to a path that will lead me ultimately to where I need to be. I'll find your will when I step out. For many of us here, we're waiting. We're waiting on God. God, what are you going to do? See, we've got to stop focusing on the when and not on the where. Focus on the when and not on the where. When to move? Now. When should I love? Now. When should I do something for God? Now. When? Now. Now is your time. But Pastor, I don't want to get ahead of God. I need to wait on God. I'm just waiting on God to move. I mean, that sounds really spiritual, doesn't it? I'm waiting on God to move. How about we do this? How about we just say it like this? I'm waiting so I'm not such a scaredy pants. I'm waiting when I'm not gripped by fear. I'm waiting. Listen, let me tell you this in case you don't know this. We are not waiting on God to move. He is waiting on us. If you don't know this, God already moved. He took the first step toward us. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for you and I that we can know who we are, that we can know what we're supposed to do. And now we begin to move in that. And it's by faith that I step out and I begin to step into that identity and I start doing it even though I don't know where it's all going to lead me. By faith, I do it. And as I take one step this way, God takes me two steps this way. And when I take two steps this way, he takes me three steps this way. And eventually, I get into the sweet spot where he's really using me to really make a difference in people's lives. But it doesn't happen until I begin to step out and do it. Stop waiting. It's time for you to move. So how do I do this? Pathway. Let's look at this pathway again. As to how, right? Who I am, what do you want me to do, when do I need to do it, I start doing it, and then it leads me to the where, right? oh, now I'm getting me where I need to be. And now God shows me how I'm going to do it. How do I do it? Matthew 6, look what it says, 6:33. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry of itself, right? Come on, stop worrying about it. If I step out, how are you going to use me, God? If I step out, God, how are you going to make this happen? God, if I step out, how are you going to fund this? God, how is this going to be there? How am I going to be enough? How? And we have all this there. You step out first. Listen, if we fully understand the how process, how God was going to use us, I'm convinced we would never step out. Because I look at it and say, man, woo, God, you're going to use me? How are you going to use me? Well, first of all, I'm going to take you downhill for a while. I'm going to take you through some valleys in your life. I'm going to take you through some hurt and rejection. I'm going to take you through some very painful seasons in your life. And in that time, in that winter season, I'm going to change your mentality. I'm going to break something down in you, and I'm going to rebuild a new faith in you so that I can use you for where I'm taking you. But if I could see that ahead of time, like, no way. That pain is too great. I'll never get there. I don't want to go through. That cross is too heavy to bear. That is too much. And we would never go. So God says, you just know who you are. Know what you're supposed to do. Step out now. When? Let me lead you to where you need to be. In that journey, I'll begin to do things in your life and use you in ways you don't even see yet. This is who I called you to be. It's how God uses us. Let's look at this pathway again. The who, the what, the when, the where, the how. This is how God does it. He wants you to know who you are. What you're supposed to do. Love, right? When we're supposed to do it. Now. Take a step. Where? He'll lead us to where we need to be. And then he'll show us how he's going to use us. Oh, that's how. I took a step of faith, but now I see how you prepared me, God. But see, the world's path, the way that we think, is just the opposite. We want to take the reverse path and then wonder why we don't know who we are in God. We want to start off with the how first. All right, God, how are you going to use me? Oh, okay. Okay, you're going to, I see. Now you're going to use me. Okay, then where are you going to do that at? Okay. Oh, what time? When are you going to do that? Oh, okay, that makes sense. And then what are you going to have me doing? Oh, yeah. That's who I am. Okay, I know who I am now. You see, the problem with that is this, so that it creates a false identity in us. Just look at my own life and tell you this, that I shared a testimony with you a while back that a couple years ago when I was going through a really rough season of my life, one night I looked at my wife and said, honey, I said, you know what? I don't have to be a pastor. And she looked at me strange, like, what are you saying? I'm like, no, don't panic. Don't panic. I'm not quitting ministry. I'm not resigning the church. But I want you to know that my identity is not wrapped up in being a pastor. My identity is wrapped up in being a son of God. And whether God wants to use me to reach people as a pastor, if he wants me to work another job and reach people that way, if he asks me to go serve a local, whatever God asks me to do, I would do it, because my identity, my security is not found in being a pastor. My identity is found in being a son of God. My identity is found in being the father he's called me to be the husband he's called me to be. This is who God, this is my identity is at. But see, if I would have seen all this ahead of time, I'd have been like, I'm called to be God, you're going to use me to be a pastor. Okay, I'm a pastor. Bless God. Hallelujah. I'm a pastor. That's who I am. Who are you? I'm a pastor. As many of you know, that oftentimes people don't even know I'm a pastor in the public. Some of you came to church because I invited you, and you didn't even know until I walked up and grabbed the mic that I was even on staff here or even a pastor. You're like, what are you doing? Get down. Okay. It's funny. We have a family here in our church that they come now, and I've been working on them a while. And when they decide they're going to come on Easter, they text me the night before, and they ask me, now, will you be there? Like, yeah, I'll be there. I promise you. I'll meet you there. And the whole time I'm preaching, they're just like, quiet. My identity is not wrapped up in being a pastor. My identity is wrapped up in who I am as God. But you know what? If I had to see what he was going to do in my life, what it was going to take for me to get to this point, if I'd have seen the hurt, the rejection, the pain that it would take to shape me and mold me into the pastor he's turning me into today, Jay, I never would have done it. I would have chickened out. I'd have ran the opposite direction. You'd have called me Jonah. I'd have been gone. Call me gone. I'll be leaving. I'll be leaving, man. On the midnight train to Georgia. I'm going, baby. Out of here. Why? Because I wouldn't have wanted to walk that road. So that's why it's important that I get here. God, I didn't know I was going to have to go through this to produce this. I didn't know I was going to go through this tough season to produce this season. See, God wants us to know who we are first. Who we are first. Why? When I know who I am, I can begin to love myself for who God called me to be. Then the path begins to get set into motion each step along the way. I don't love myself because in the end I'm a pastor. No. It starts at the very beginning. I love myself because God loved me. It showed me who I was. This is learning to walk in the real love that God has for our life. Let me close with three quick points to you, and we're going to close. Look at the scripture, Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said, I want you to deny yourself. If you want to be my disciple, Jesus said, you must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. So how do we do this? How do we walk in this true identity? How do we find it? Number one, write this down. I must deny ourselves. Simple, right? I must deny myself. God, I surrender to your will. Starts right here. God, I deny myself. I realize I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm learning to surrender myself to you. I deny my will. Not my will, but your will be done, God. Number two, I let God love me. God, I realize you really love me unconditional in my life. God, you really, really love me. And the more I let God love me the way he intended, the more it sets me free. The more I understand how much God loves me, the more it drives out insecurities in my life. 1 John 4:18 says it like this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. Who is perfect? Only one. It says only one was perfect. His name was Jesus. So Jesus' love drives out fear. So when I allow God to truly love me, when I let him love me the way he really loves me, and I understand it, it drives out the fear of being, you know what, I'm not good enough. It drives out the fear that I'm not pretty enough. It drives out the fear that I'm not able to do this. It drives out my insecurities, and I put my focus now not goes on who I am. My focus now goes on who he is, his strengths in my life. Because in my weakness, you are made strong. In my imperfection, God, you are perfected. Sets me free. Number three, choose. Come on now. Choose to love who he has created us to be. I choose to love him. I choose to love myself because he's created me this way. And then I choose to love those around me. This is how I find my identity. God, I'm choosing. I'm choosing to love myself the way you love me. I'm choosing to walk in this identity, who I am, who I am, who I am, who I am. Ah, yeah, now I know who I am. Now I know what you want me to do. You want me to love others. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Today I want to ask you the most important question you've ever been asked in your life. See, real love starts right here. It starts at the cross of Jesus that says that while you and I were yet sinners, that Jesus died for you and I. That you and I could be put back into a right relationship with the Father. So this morning, I want to ask you, the Bible says that if you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it starts first of all with believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He was the Messiah, that He died for your sins. So first of all, you got to believe it in your heart. But that's not enough. The Bible says also, number two, you must then confess it with your mouth. So today, as you bow your heads, I want to ask you a question. We won't single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But I want to make sure you have a chance to respond today to the love of Jesus. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Where I'm sitting at today, I'm ready to ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else want to raise your hand? Come on now. This is your day. Don't let this moment pass you by. If you haven't accepted Jesus, today He loves you. If you're ready to make that decision, if you haven't raised it, raise it one more time where I can see it. Thank you. I see those hands in the back. Yeah, thank you. If you raise your hands, I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it too to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you that I need you in my life. I believe you are the Messiah who died on the cross for my sins, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow after you. I will live my life for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give him a hand. It's a big deal. Big deal. Before you leave today, I want you to stop by the hub in the back. You raise your hand and you accepted Jesus. We got a free Bible we want to put in your hand. Some other information we'll make sure we let you know about. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today, all across the auditorium. How many say, Pastor, today I want to walk in my true identity. I want to learn to love myself and who God's called me to be. I want to stop selling myself short, and I want to learn to walk in true love that comes from the Father. I want to learn to truly love myself so that I can love God fully and I can love others fully. Anybody here today? God's speaking to you? Yeah. Come on. Let's close with this chorus. Let's declare it out of our heart. Let's declare it out of our mouth. Come on. Let's lift our hands. I want to pray for you one more time today. Father, I thank you that we have been called children of the King today. Lord, I declare over our minds, I declare over our hearts today that your love, perfect love, would cast aside all fear, that you allow, God, us to walk in our true identity, that allows us to love ourselves truly the way you love us. And God, I thank you, God, that you're casting aside fears, doubts, insecurities. God, we see ourselves with uniqueness, loved of God, called of God, chosen of God, adopted of God, in the family of God. And today we declare that we'll never be the same in Jesus' name. I declare over your mind right now, you're free. I declare over your heart today, be free in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together. You got to praise. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here today. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, God is good.